Hear now these words as recorded and given to us by Peter. Do not return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and with reverence. The word of the Lord. Last night, Gary asked me what would I prefer, to stand behind the pulpit, because usually when you're short, people can't see you. So when I was preaching at Dove of the Desert, I always used a music stand. It also helps with the bifocals. You know how that is. So let us meet God in prayer this morning. Lord God, we come to you this day after hearing your word. We ask that you help us to have open hearts and minds to understand what it is that you give to us each and every time we read your word. And now, through this humble message, help us to become closer to you during this Lenten season. Amen. On Wednesday night, we began the season of Lent. We were over in the chapel. And we began this 40 days of reflection and introspection and self-examination of who we are as Christians and why Jesus is our Savior. We usually begin this journey by focusing on the scripture from Matthew. And it goes this way. After John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the heavens opened and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Matthew gives great detail of the temptations that Christ endures and overcomes. For some believers, the spiritual practice at this time is to focus on overcoming temptations. We believe that we need to sacrifice to model Christ's time in the desert. Some feel it is a time for us to focus on our own sins, and so we give up something as a penance. Many of us may remember our Catholic brothers and sisters that were required not to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. Well, this is no longer a requirement for them, but some of them still choose to follow this tradition. And some of you may have chosen to fast from a food or a favorite activity. When we focus on sacrifice, our hope is that at the end of the 40 days, we will better understand and celebrate and appreciate the gift of Christ's sacrifice. If that is a spiritual practice that's a tradition for you and you find great meaning for your faith, then please continue to do it. But I would like to invite you this Lenten season to look at the words in the Gospel of Mark. You see, Mark leaves out the descriptions of the temptations. Mark begins with this statement. John the Baptist is now in prison, and Jesus returns to society to proclaim the good news of God. And Jesus' words begin with, "The time has come," or, as I've decided to say, what we would say today is, now is the time. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Where if we read in the message, it says, time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the good news. Then following this declaration, Jesus begins the work of calling out his disciples. So let's first look at our baptism as we begin this journey of Lent. Most of us cannot or do not remember our baptism. Many of us were baptized as infants. In infant baptism, our parents took on the vows to raise us in the Christian faith. And then in sixth or seventh or eighth grade, we went through a confirmation class, which ended by you and I taking on the vows of baptism for ourselves. And we were asked the following questions, and these questions are still asked today. Do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise that was made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The congregation, then, has a response that welcomes you as members of the family of Christ. Then these words were spoken and hands were laid upon you. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, after Jesus' baptism, he heard those wonderful words from the heavens as they opened, and he said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it was the Holy Spirit that entered in and was a part of all that happened there. And for us, when we say those words, being born through water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit work within you, is the Holy Spirit coming into us through our baptism so that we too have the power of the Holy Spirit through all that we do, that all that we face, and all that is a part of our lives. So, anyway, after Jesus' baptism, the Spirit went into the wilderness with him. After our baptism, the Holy Spirit goes with us into the wilderness of our world. And as we got older, the questions of our faith started nagging at us. And we started thinking about things just a little bit different. Why would we think, though, that after our commitment to our faith, that we would not be tempted? Why would we think that? How many times have we heard that Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites because we're tempted and we failed? How many times have we expected life to be easier? And people have said, life's easier for you because you're a Christian. How many times have we heard that you, as a Christian, are above that type of behavior? Well, we've all been there. We've all heard it, haven't we? But hopefully we remember when we hear these things that we are human, that we are all sinners, that we are forgiven and offered grace by Jesus' death on the cross, that we're able to start again because of Christ's resurrection. You see, now is the time to remember why Christ died for us. Now is the time to remember the first mission for Jesus was to call his disciples to share the good news. So I invite you this Lenten season to look at what Peter challenges us to do as disciples, believers, teachers of the faith, in this time, 2018, is it possible to change our lives and our world by that scripture that we read earlier? Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic and humble. That goes for all of us, no exceptions. Instead of our usual behavior, sometimes being critical, complaining, and sarcastic, instead, blessed. Peter's speaking to the members of the early church, and he continues to speak to us today. In this time of introspection and self-examination, the question arises as to just what is our usual behavior. Well, when I asked myself this question, I found that it was a little difficult for me. I found that sometimes my usual behavior was the same as it was in ancient times. I criticize, I complain, and I'm sarcastic at times. And when I do that, it's probably not blessing. But this might sound familiar to you. Coming out of church one Sunday, Mrs. Smith asked her husband, "Do you think that Johnson girl is tinting her hair?" "I didn't even see her," admitted Mr. Smith. "And that dress Mrs. Davis was wearing," continued Mrs. Smith, "really, don't tell me you think that's a proper outfit for a mother of two." "I'm afraid I didn't notice that either," said Mr. Smith. "Oh, for heaven's sake," snapped Mrs. Smith. "A lot of good it does you to go to church." And after church one day, Mrs. Jones went up to Mrs. Dangerfield and remarked, "You know what you need to do to get out of that slump that you're in? You need to start working on one of the projects here at the church, and I have the sign-up list right here for you." Now that's the usual behavior, is I know how to fix you. On the behavior, another usual behavior is silence is golden. Or sometimes our words are just loaded with sarcasm. If I speak to no one, then I don't have to deal with what's going on in my life, and I don't have to deal with what's going on in the world. A great t-shirt I once read had this printed on it: "Despite the look on my face, you are still talking." Or, "In order to insult me, I must first value your opinion. Nice try, though." You see, our usual behavior sometimes is tongue-in-cheek, and we don't even realize what we're saying because it's so much a part of our society. But as we read on in these words of Peter, it says, "Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic and humble." And that goes for all of us, no exceptions. We are further challenged by his statement in verse 16. "Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ might be ashamed for their slander." Sometimes our old habits and lifestyles are indeed in need of an adjustment. Now is the time to be sympathetic, to love as brothers and sisters. Now, here's the challenge for our Lenten season. Sacrifice. Suffer by doing good. In a spiritual challenge many years ago, Reverend Rebecca Oaks Long and I asked the congregation to look at a popular book. It was titled The Four Agreements. It's still a popular book today. It was by Miguel Ruiz. And the four agreements go like this. 1, be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. The second agreement was, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. And when you're immune to the opinions and the actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. The third agreement, don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. And then there's the last one, number four. Always do your best. Doing your best can change from moment to moment. It'll be different if you're healthy or when you're sick. But understand in any circumstance to simply do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Now, this sounds like a paraphrase of 1 Peter to me. But this new bestseller made him a lot of money. And the message itself in these four agreements was written in an old bestseller, the Bible, and written by Peter. Now, at our church at that time, we all wore these bands around our wrists. And whenever we caught ourselves in an old habit, we would snap that band. I looked for one, but I must have broke all mine. We would snap them, and we went through a lot of those bands at our congregation, and that was just in 4 weeks. But instead of the four agreements, we need to look back at that text in Peter, because you see, it's more than an agreement that we have as Christians. It's a covenant. It's a covenant that we said we were going to follow. So this Lenten journey, let's suffer by doing good. Let's change a usual habit into an encouraging habit. Let's take the words of our baptism seriously. Let's put aside criticizing others. Let's give up complaining. Let's realize that sarcasm can actually inflict pain on others. In our actions, may the negativity we experience in our world and may the negativity that we sometimes contribute to be changed, changed into blessings. Now, the ultimate blessing will be for us on Easter morning, a renewal of celebration and of joy. And many others will be given hope of the risen Christ through our actions. For the greatest blessing of all is the gift of forgiveness and the joy of the risen Christ. So now is the time. Be a blessing. Let us pray. Lord God, we have usual habits that you tolerate from us. And so we ask you to give us strength, to give us courage during this Lent, to draw closer to you, to make the changes that are needed, so that we will be a true representative of your light in our world. Amen.